Welcome to this week's edition of The Headlines from CKUT's Community News Collective in Montreal. Information that matters from our neighborhood to the world. Produced in collaboration with The Dominion, we are broadcasting from Montreal and rebroadcasting on stations throughout Canada and the United States. These are the headlines for the week of March 1st. I'm Laura Glowacki.
We are for flat forms because they destroy illusion and reveal truth.
Gail Davidson, co-founder of Lawyers Against the War in Vancouver, plans to lay charges on former President Bush when he visits Calgary on March 17th. This is not Davidson's first attempt, as she brought Bush up on 7 torture-related charges in 2004 when he came to Canada on an official visit. Vancouver Provincial Court Judge William Kitchen dismissed the charges, declaring Bush immune to prosecution. Davidson and Lawyers Against the War see torture as the primary offense preempting these charges. The group wrote Prime Minister Stephen Harper on February 23rd, requesting Bush be barred from entrance to Canada. This request cites the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act, which prohibits entrance to the country by senior members of a government that has committed offenses listed in the Crimes Against Humanity and War Crimes Act. In the appendix of this act, torture is listed as a crime against humanity.
First, a brief update on our story from last week about Montreal music venue Casa del Pueblo. According to the owners, Casa faces 2 individual court cases, one with the Régie des Alcools, des Cours et des Jeux, to try to obtain a bar liquor permit, which allows the venue to sell alcohol without the need to purchase food by the patrons. The second case regards Casa's legal right to host live concerts. The venue needs to obtain a spectacle liquor license, but to do this, the property in question cannot touch buildings zoned as residential, and currently Casa does. But in their letter, Casa's owners explained that they will ratify the situation. Quote, "In the next few months, we will be making the necessary renovations to transform our new offices to commercially zoned property," end quote. The letter also insists that the much-loved music venue is not closing. Despite their having to cancel all live concerts, the venue will still be open for dinner and DJ nights. The letter ends by saying that, quote, "Suffice it to say, the Casa will remain open and return stronger than ever. It will just take a little time. If you have any questions, feel free to call the office at 514-284-0122 or email info@casadelpueblo.com. In more local news, there has been an update on the redevelopment plans for the Mile End. You may remember that last summer, Helen Fotopoulos, the mayor of the Plateau-Montréal borough, announced plans to redesign Saint-Viateur East, a street running between Saint-Laurent Boulevard and Henri-Julien Avenue. Her comments that described the once vibrant textile district as now a, quote, "no man's land," end quote, were met at the time with sharp criticism by artists and creative entrepreneurs who use and thrive in the mainly low-rent spaces along the central Mile End Street. The Montreal Gazette is now reporting more details of what might be included in the redevelopment plan. We now know it includes plans for building new sidewalks and installing streetlights, as well as possibly extending Saint-Viateur to meet Henri-Julien more directly. Along with this public investment, private development is also eyeing the region. An estimated $250 million is reported to be earmarked for private housing and light industrial development by business. Developers are said to be looking at the Ubisoft building as a successful model for future enterprises. In response to the city and borough's plans, a grassroots organization called Mile End Citizens Committee has been established to represent the voices of current residents and workers in the Mile End. CKUT spoke with the committee's coordinator, Richard Ryan, who has until now organized 4 discussion sessions at different Mile End cafes to discuss issues pertaining to the project. Ryan said that although public officials have attended the series, he was unsure whether the committee has had a real influence over redevelopment plans. Ryan explained that the officials came as, quote, "ordinary citizens," end quote, not representatives of public office. However, Ryan encouraged that people who have concerns about the redevelopment of one of Mile End's most prominent streets should attend the committee's next meeting on March 9th at 7 p.m. at Cajubi, and the next meeting on March 23rd at the Green Room also at 7 p.m. He also stressed that people with interests in the arts and low-income housing should attend the committee's rally on April 26, when the committee drafts its formal letter to the city. More details on that meeting to come.
Internal Bush administration documents were released for the first time by the Justice Department this week. They reveal that the number of major legal errors committed by Bush administration lawyers following the September 11th terrorist attacks was far greater than previously known. Policies shaped in the months following the attack were based on at least 10 legal opinions that supported broadening the president's power. The Justice Department later deemed these opinions flawed and ordered them to be withdrawn. The Office of Legal Counsel memo served as a justification for what many considered exaggerations of state power, and in some cases, blatantly illegal actions. One of the previously secret memos stated that any terrorist in the United States could be treated like an invading army. The memo justified warrantless searches and the subordination of free speech and press rights if needed to, quote, wage war successfully, end quote. In another memo, the department asserted that detainees could be transferred to countries known to commit human rights abuses, so long as U.S. officials did not intentionally seek their torture.
Last weekend, thousands of students gathered in Washington to demand action on climate change. As part of the second Power Shift conference, over 10,000 youths from across the country called for a shift to green energy and an end to coal power in the United States. On Monday, participants met with members of Congress in what organizers called the largest ever lobby day on climate change and energy. Later in the day, protesters blocked the entrance to the Capitol Coal Power Plant, which supplies energy to several Capitol buildings. The plant uses coal to produce nearly 50% of its energy. Capitol Climate Action, a diverse coalition of more than 90 groups, hope that this symbolic action will be the first in a massive movement of people demanding an end to dirty energy this year. No arrests were made.
Just 3 days after sending another 1,600 Canadian troops to Afghanistan, Prime Minister Stephen Harper said in an interview with CNN on Monday that his experience has been that foreign armies and governments will never succeed in Afghanistan, let alone be able to define what success is.
We're not going to win this war just by staying. We're not going to, in fact, my own judgment is, quite frankly, we are not going to ever defeat the insurgency.
The Canadian government, under the Liberals and the Conservatives, have extended the deadline for Canadian withdrawal 4 times. Most recently, it was Harper's own Conservatives, with Liberal support, who extended the deployment yet again from February 14, 2009 until the end of 2011. The cost to the Canadian taxpayer of Canadian involvement in Afghanistan is $100 million a month, and many Canadians are questioning how we can afford to stay in Afghanistan for another 2 years, given the financial strain placed on Canadians by the most recent federal budget. There are, in fact, many Canadians demanding that we withdraw the troops now and not wait for another 2 years, a decision that would save our taxpayers over $3 billion. Member of Parliament Don Black said that the Prime Minister is finally realizing what Canadians have been telling him for the last 3 years. Members of the Prime Minister's own party accused her and NDP leader Jack Layton of supporting the Taliban when the NDP originally questioned the legitimacy, the effectiveness, and the cost of Canada's presence in Afghanistan. Now, after over 100 Canadian soldier deaths, over $5 billion charged to the Canadian taxpayer, and news just last week of an incident in which more Afghani civilians are blaming Canadian soldiers for more civilian deaths, it appears that Prime Minister Harper is starting to get the picture.
What has to happen in Afghanistan is we have to have an Afghan government. But if it's perceived as being foreign, it will always have a significant degree of opposition.
This is TJ Khan reporting for CKUT Headlines.
On Tuesday in Lahore, Pakistan, 5 security officers were killed and 7 cricket players injured in an attack on the Sri Lankan cricket team. This attack is seen by some not as an assault on the visiting cricketers, but rather hostility towards the Pakistani government's cooperation with Washington in recent months. Despite this, the possibility of foreign travel within Pakistan is narrowing after the gunman's attack on the cricketer's bus. Though the Pakistani government had assured the Sri Lankan team of the highest level of security, Sarfraz Nawaz, a former Pakistani bowler, told the media that the Sri Lankan team's convoy did not follow the prescribed security route. The attacks seem to indicate that Islamabad is losing control of the security situation. ICC Chief Executive Harun Lorgat stated, quote, "There obviously have been breaches and the security has not been good enough. There will be some serious repercussions from this," unquote. Asif Ali Zardari, the Pakistani president, has approved recent changes in the police department, including the Inspector General of Police. And some critics believe this could in part have led to less effective security measures. And those are the week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at ckutnews.wordpress.com and at ckut.ca. And you can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks this week to our friends at the Dominion and our contributors Leah Gardner, TJ Kahn, Laura Glowacki, and Lauren Wu of the CKUT Community News Collective. I'm Chesley Walsh. To contact us, email headlines@ckut.ca or call 514-448-4041 extension 6788. Thanks for listening.